Okay, we're going to be learning Tehillim Perek Chaf, Tehillim chapter 20. Along the way, I put out some Psukim in Sefer Shmuel. Okay, if you would like to put one place on Tehillim Perek Chaf, chapter 20, the other one is Shmuel Aleph. Okay, we're in Perek Tet Zion of Shmuel Aleph. This is the story of David and Goliath. Put your hand on the place there. And okay, it's Shmuel Aleph. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Yud Zion, I'm sorry. 17:26.
Yes.
Chapter 17:26. Okay. Let's get started. So before we do the story involving Goliath, very familiar story to everybody, the challenge in Perek Chaf, it starts from Natzeach Mizmor LeDavid. Natzeach is for the conductor in charge of the music, right? Mizmor LeDavid can mean a song written for David or by David. Okay, but here it is. Here is the challenge. Yancha Hashem b'yom tzara. Who is talking and who is the one that's supposed to be answered? Yancha Hashem b'yom tzara. Right? May Hashem answer you in your day of affliction or distress. Right? Yisagevcha. Right? Sagev is to be saved. Usually it means to survive something when others aren't surviving. Yisagev Hashem Elokei Yaakov. To bring you up like the Niskav Beyomahu, to be brought up high on high, especially from an expected low position. Okay. So God will take a person's sort of rags to riches, where you go from a terrible tsar, where you expect to die, or the smart money is that you'll die, right? The people betting are betting against you, right? So, and yet Hashem can bring you up very quickly. Bikini may offer a doll, something similar. Okay. So who's saying this? Who's saying this to David?
What's that?
This is chapter 20 of Tehillim, and says, may God answer you in your day of distress. Okay. Now, throughout our history, especially in Sefer Melachim, the status of the nation, the way, whatever is happening to the nation is a function of whatever is happening to the king. Right? Mm-hmm. Especially Divrei Hayamim wants to make this point. Divrei Hayamim really makes this so crystal clear. As is the king, as is the nation. So when the people recognize this, they're singing this song, not just to David, but to their own success. Right? But the person who is receiving end of these words, right, is in great distress. Could be in a battle, could be in war. Right, and there are 10 different words that are used to describe how the person who is in distress ought to or will be answered and saved. Okay, it's very poetic. Right, you see, Ya'ancha, Yisagevcha, Yishlach Ezrecha, right, Yisodeka. You see the word Yisodeka, last word in Pasuk Gimel. Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh. And Mikodesh, why should the king's help come from Kodesh? Kodesh is Yerushalayim, right? From the holy city, right? As the parallelism of the Pasuk indicates. You see it? Yishlach, may your help come from Kodesh and from Tzion. Yisodeka, Saad. It's the name Saadia. But it's the same shorish as the word Sa'uda. A meal is called Sa'uda because a meal gives you Saad. Lechem levav enosh yisod. Sa'ad means to support you. It gives you support. It gives you fulfillment. Okay. Okay, the fascinating aspect of David's slaying of Goliath is that after he killed him, he cut off his head. It says in Tanakh, inexplicably, since Yerushalayim was not a holy city yet, wasn't in our hands even, is that he took the Goliath's head and he took it to Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of all places. Hmm. Okay, let's read now the story of David and what happened with Goliath. Okay. Right. This is Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chav.
Pasuk what?
Chav, 26, chapter 17, 26. I believe Chad sent it out. Okay. Chapter 17, 26. Okay. So David was sent by his father to bring food for the people at the front lines, especially his brothers. Okay. And when David came there, he asked about what kind of reward, what happens? I heard that the king really wants to buy someone to fight this giant. I feel I can do it. Now, this was part of a new system of making war, is to fight just one on each side. It works well if you have Goliath on your side. But, you know, you take your best person, we'll take my best person. Why do we have to fight a battle with 10,000 guys on each side? Let's just have one-on-one. And the one that loses, that nation shall be enslaved by the other nation. Okay, so Vayomer David el ha'anashim ha'amdim imo lemor. Ma yaseh lo ish, ma yeyaseh lo ish asher yakeh plishti haloz. What did I hear that's going would happen for a person that kills this Philistine? Ve'hisir cherpa me'al Yisrael. Ki mi ha'plishti ha'arel hazeh. Ki cheref ma'archos elokim chayim. To remove the shame, the other shame that he is, the disgrace that he's bringing upon us. It's interesting that he refers to the Philistine as the Orel. Philistines are always called the uncircumcised ones in Tanakh. But also that in the story of Shechem, a male that is not circumcised is a cherpa. Remember that? It's a cherpa for any of our daughters to marry a man who's not circumcised. So here he uses the same word. He's disgracing us that his God is more powerful than our God, and he's going to wipe the earth with our blood, and he's going to shame the God, our God that's not powerful enough to defeat him. Right? All right, so just skip the few psukim where David's brother Eliav responds to him with guile. Okay? So David is speaking as if though he is very much capable, even though he's just a lowly shepherd. It's this story here that makes me say that it's inconceivable that Shaul ruled only 2 years. Because it says that David ruled right after Shaul died, and he was 30 when he started to rule. If Shaul ruled only 2 years, that means David is 28 here. That's already old for his brother saying, you're a little pipsqueak, you're just a young little lad, you're a na'ar, you don't know how to fight. At 28, you've been fighting for a while. 20, you're fighting already in Torah. So why would he call him a pipsqueak and you have no business being here in battle? Thank you for the food, go back home. Don't even ask about what's the reward. Okay? It's inconceivable. It's really and the Radak points it out, the Baranel points it out. Where would he say the Rolam says he only ruled 2 years? It's a difficult position. I'm just putting it out there. Okay. So when here is the how we're going to connect our story to Tehillim chapter 20. is that when Shaul hears that there is finally one Jew who is willing to risk what seems to be a obvious suicide mission, let me hear what he has to say. Okay. So, Vayomer David el Shaul. Okay, everybody see where we are? Shaul hears that there's someone who is who is up for this. Okay, and David continues with Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Okay, Vayomer David el Shaul. Ro'eh haya avdecha la'aviv batzam. Right, this is verse 34. I was tending my father's flocks. Ubaha arives adov nasas semeha eder. A lion and a bear came to remove sheep from the flock. V'yatzasi acharavi kesi v'itzalti mipiv v'yakom alai v'chsakti biskanovi kisiv v'amisiv. I don't know if this is the bear or the lion. Mistama, the lion. The bear doesn't have a beard. The lion does. All right? So when the bear, they stole the sheep, I grabbed him, the lion, I grabbed him by his beard and I killed him. I killed the lion, I killed the bear, and this guy will be like one of them. Very, very, you know. You see, he's very enthusiastic. This is a 16-year-old, maybe an 18-year-old. But at 28, this is already, come on, you're an adult already, you know. So he's trying to explain to the king he wants to interview for the job of giant slayer. Mm. Right? So V'yemar David Hashem Asher Yitzilani Miyad Ha'ari U'Miyad Ha'Dov Hu Yatzilani Miyad HaPlishti Hazeh. Same way that God saved me from the lion and the bear, God will save me from this plishti. V'yemar Shaul David Lech V'Hashem Ye'imach. Go, may God be with you. Shaul is obviously convinced that this guy is our best chance. He made an excellent, but Shaul doesn't want to lose this battle.
No.
Right? But he can't seem to find anyone who's willing to I've seen that there are quite a few films depicting this scene. David and Goliath. In all of them, he's a kid. In all of them, he's a kid. He's 14, 16, maybe 18. He's like a kid. Okay. All right, so Shaul fits him up with some armor, with a helmet, and David says, but that's very important to understand our perek. V'yemar Shaul lo David, Lech v'Hashem ye'imach. Pasuk 38, Lamed Ches. V'yalbeis Shaul es David love. Shaul gave David his own mail and armor. And the son Kova with the kuf, we spell Kova today with a kuf. He gave him a hat made of brass, al rosho, put on his head. V'yalbeish oso shiryon. Right? Shiryon is whatever, armor, you know, uniform, war uniform. Okay. V'yachkor David ischarbo me'al amadav v'yoel aleches ki lo nisa v'yemar David al shol lo uchal aleches v'yel ki lo nisisi v'yisireim David me'alav. David says, no, this is going to hamper me. If I'm going to have a strategy to defeat this man, it's not going to be with whatever things he's using. I have to take advantage of easy mobility. I have to approach him from a certain direction. I have to approach him in a certain way. And all this extra armor, it may insult him if I take it off, right? And come to him with no armor at all. It's not a fair fight. What kind of fight is this? But that's the only way I can do it. Okay? Now, the pshat is, kiloni sisi means I haven't tried it. You know, you wear your own, you wear your own armor, you're used to it, and it starts to fit you like a saddle. But if you're wearing it for the first time, it's not going to go well.
Or ice skates. Yes.
Yeah. Your bowling ball. You know, you can't use just anybody. So David rejects it, and he says, the reason he says is Kiloni Sisi. Now, the drash of Kiloni Sisi that you find in Medrash Tehillim is, I want it to be as great a miracle as possible. Nes. Right? So if I wear this armor and I defeat him, it's not as great a miracle. I want to go just myself. It's all me. I walk with the hand of God. Okay? V'yikach maklo biyado v'yibcha lo chamisha chalukei avanim min hanachal. He dafka took 5 stones, it says, from the brook. Why? Why dafka from the brook? Because David needs, he's I'm sure he's been doing this for a while. Stones that are not smooth, they're friction. It's okay. Yoram? I need speed and I need accuracy, and I don't want to, you know, a jagged rock will be thrown off its course. Right? So he goes to the Nachal. Now, there's a place in near Beit Shemesh, and it's called Efes Domim. Did we discuss this? Efes Domim. Most Tanakhs translate Efes Domim, E-F-E-S-D-A-M-I-M. They don't translate it. They just call it Efes Domim. Okay? But it could be that what's happening here is that they are, this is the new way of doing battle, without blood. Efes means none, zero. Mm-hmm. Domim is blood. So they called it this battle fought without swords. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So David took these five very smooth stones because he needs to have, accuracy. And now David feels that there's a place I need to hit him. He's wearing so much armor all over him. Right? Now, it also says he's wearing a metzach. This is a metzach, is the forehead. Stama, he had an armor that went all around. Sometimes the armor went, down your nose, even like this. Right? But apparently that's not what he had. But it says that David's stone went into his mouth. So it could be that necessarily, I'll say there's no other way to read, but that when you get as tall as Goliath is described, which is about 9 feet tall, the disease is rare. It's called giantism. And it's a pituitary cancer where you just keep growing until you can't anymore. Right? And, usually you stop growing at a certain age, but you just keep growing until you die. So your body can't take it. And the one Achilles' heel is here, is where the skull is here.
Oh, really?
Stomach, Goliath was dead before he fell to the ground. Because it just went into the Metzach.
Huh.
I've heard other interpretations say that he hit him in the knee. Yeah. In the knee, and that's how he buckled. Yoni Grossman hit him in the knee and he buckled the knee and that's why he fell forward and he was incapable of getting up. So it says that it's in the beginning, it says he had a certain, let me just see what, because it is the Tanakh in its own inimitable way describes. It says Mitzchas Nechoshes al Raglov. That was the proper shield on his legs.
Mm-hmm.
So it says he hit him in the metzach. So everyone assumed that means his forehead.
Right.
So he wants to say, because it says metzach nechoshes, he hit him in the knee, and the knee collapsed. He kneecapped him. So, maybe David was the height of David was his knee. It seems that if something, you know, you have to strike him where he's not wearing armor, probably. Right? He took five stones and it says he hit him on the very first one. So, you know, so.
Even for some regular pituitary height, if that hit him in the forehead, this is not a good thing.
Sure not. Okay, so David took out these five stones, and the Plishti looks at him with disgust and disdain. Look, read 42. Vayabeta Plishti vayirez David vayivizehu. 42, remember. Now, vayabeta Plishti vayirez David implies that, as I can probably understand, his eyesight is not good. Because his whole head is gone. Is, you know, David took advantage of perhaps knowing that he has to have profound weaknesses in you know, peripheral vision, and so yabait means what? Yeah. So it looks like from Pasuk Mem. He has to squint very much. He has to look more than once to recognize what's going on. And he started to disparage him. Again, that's not 28. Do you agree? It's inconceivable, isn't it? Because he was just a lad. 28 is no longer a lad. I know that Yoshua is called Na'ar at 56. Na'ar is Moshe and Torah, but that could be a verb. I just don't see it. I mean, that would mean that Shaul would have to have been a king for a lot longer than 2 years. Right? Mm-hmm. Which would mean when Shaul finished his kingship, David then was 30.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming that the story of Goliath is not necessarily in the very beginning of his reign, right? So there's time for David to be 16, 17, 18, with 12 more years of Shaul's reign. Okay. All right, so Yomar HaPlishti El David. HaKelav Anochi Ki Atah Bo Elai V'Maklos. You am I a dog? Now, the dog was a very common appellation in the ancient Near East. Right? You say, nice, you have a dead dog, but dog is like you used to write at the end of a letter, you would write your dog if you were writing to someone that's like, you know, that you need to impress, someone that's in charge of you or someone that's, you know, the governor or something. You would sign out your dog. So he says, what am I, a dog? You know, in other words, it's like a... So he now the Elohav is Mistama, Goliath's God, right? Or it could be that he cursed him with David's God. You think you have a God who can save you from this mess you're in now? You're committing suicide. Who could you do this? Right? Come to me, and I'll give your body to the vultures and the animals. Now, what does he mean, come to me? You think he's here to fight you? You mean, what are you telling him? Give yourself up?
One has a distance and the other one has a sword.
So David with a Yalkut has an advantage at a distance. Goliath is going to shoot, maybe throw some spears at him and hope that he's going to hit a moving target. You know,
the person also decided, you may not be able to see that.
Okay. Vayomer David. Okay, now here, this is now why I'm doing this. Okay, these verses right here. So we are in Pasuk Memhei 45. Vayomer David al Klishti. Ata ba elai becherev ubechanis ubechidon. You come to me with the sword, and you come to me with the spear, and you come to me with the shield. No, let's say okay, javelin. I think is a okay. Vanochi ba'ilecha b'shem Hashem tzvakos. Okay, Marachos Yisrael asher kirafta. I come to you. So you see, this is our perek. Right, perek chaf of Tehillim could be something that David wrote in preparation for fighting Goliath. It could be something where people remembered that David, this is the way David fights in the name of God. Hayom hazeh, so you can talk trash to me about giving my body to the vultures and the wild animals. I could talk trash just as good. Want to hear? Hayom hazeh yisagercha Hashem b'yodi b'kisicha v'asir osiyas roshcha me'olecha. Nastati peger machane ishtim hayamazel ofa shmaim lachayas haaretz v'yedu kol haaretz yesh elokim liyisrael. When I cut off your head and your body is eaten by the animals, then people will know that there's a God in Israel. V'yedu kol kol hazed. Now my people should also know ki lo v'chere v'chanis yoshi Hashem. God does not need a sword or the spear to save. Gila Shema Milchama, Hashem Ish Milchama, Hashem Shmoi, Gila Shema Milchama, and the sun is going to be a Dana. War is God's to fight, and He's going to give you into our hands. Okay? All right? So, David quickly went, Vaishlach, Vaikrav, Likras David, Meher David, Vayerat, Marachal, Likras, Aplishti. David put his hand into his sack where he had his stones. Ve'ikach misham even ve'ikala v'yachas aplishti al mitzcho. And David hit him just in the mitzach. See what the English translation translates here. The stone penetrated his forehead. Vatitbah even b'mitzcho v'yipol al panav arza. All right, so Yoni Grossman says he hit him in the mitzchas. I mean, mitzchah means that his kneecap. It was like a small little opening there so that the knee can have a mobility. It's straight, and he's not going to have to walk like a tin man, right? So
you break the kneecap, the person who breaks the kneecap, and also that's a big repress.
Yeah, so if that might, yeah, something there maybe, right? But I would tell you this: I still prefer my reading, because if he did suffer from this giantism, which is likely to reach 9 feet tall, he was dead as soon as he hit him in the forehead, and that's why he fell forward. Did you ever see studies of which direction was John F. Kennedy hit based on the way he was dead? He was dead standing. Right. So he didn't, you know, if you have 5 seconds to get your footing, if you die, if you still have 4, 5, 6 seconds of life left in you, but he didn't have, he was dead standing. So he just, there's no reaction or anything. So Goliath, it says, fell forward. It was hit. You'd think you'd fall backwards, but no, he was dead standing, maybe, if this is what he suffered from. And that's how David could come over to him and slice his head off. But if he was mortally wounded, let's say by a kneecap, or so he cut off his leg. But then David, if he comes to him, he'll grab him and he'll say, "Don't you touch my head, I'm a..."
It'll blow over.
Yeah, so maybe if he was incapacitated by his kneecap being capped, but so maybe David could be, but then, you know, he would have to be totally out. I was obviously out when David, so maybe David came to him and then finished him off, you know, stabbed him or something, or crushed him or something. And, yeah. Right. So, but that's what David did. Okay. All right. David killed him without a sword. Okay, now let's get back to our parak, please. May God give you everything you need, everything you want, whatever in your mind. Okay. So parak pasuk vav, right, is the things that a person needs b'shas nuchal. Fighting a battle, when you're fighting a battle, you tend to make deals with God, right? The Daf Yomi, the next few days, is about what the Kohen Gadol would say during battle, and people are afraid of, you know, the enemy was, you know, hits their sword against their shield, and they make a lot of noise, and they're screaming, and then someone can't take that, so. You know, so that's when you're in battle, like you make deals with God. You say, God, please, if I do, you know, I'll, the whole nine yards, if you call a chavilah, if you get me home. So that's where, you know, when you have your three wishes and you're going out to battle, so you know, you don't mind spending one wish to get yitain l'chachil v'avecha. You get it? L'chol atzascha yimalei. Whatever etzah you might have about survival, may God fulfill that for you. Okay. There's some, you know, there's a Shmuel Bet, it's not tells us that asking Achitophel or an Eitzah was always like asking Gerutim, right? So you ask an Eitzah of Achitophel. Now, if you ask Achitophel, listen, I want to rob a bank. Can you give me the best advice about how to rob a bank? Now, good advice does not necessarily fit the request. In other words, surely the best advice, if I ask the question, I want to rob a bank, tell me the best way to do it, is not a good idea to rob a bank. But if you really want to rob a bank, this is what I know in this particular bank, this is what you need to do. So when Achitophel is advising Avshalom about being the next king, and he wants to give him Eitzah, right? Beiva Eitz, you know, Man Sanhedrin, the first parak in Brachas, that, you know, he's the Yoetz, he's the one giving advice. And you want him advising you, not your enemies. So when David hears that Achitophel went over to Avshalom's side, he doesn't say, don't let Avshalom listen to his advice. He says, may Avshalom consider his advice to be foolish, to be wrong. And he says, if you want to be the next king, you have to kill your father tonight. And that was exactly the right advice. Because he didn't do that. He listened to someone else.
Was that David's spy?
Yeah, Hushai Harki, good, yeah. He told him that I was just came from his camp. Don't go tonight. He's well fortified. No, he wasn't. David was very vulnerable that night. He would have been killed, and Absalom would have been king. You want to be king? This is what you got to do. You don't want to do this? Your rebellion is a failure, and I have to go home and commit suicide, which is what he did. Because he knew that if Absalom doesn't listen to him, it's going to fail. If it's going to fail, better I should commit suicide and my children will inherit me, as opposed to the king taking everything of mine after killing me for turning against it.
What happened to his kids? His kids?
We don't know anything about them, but ostensibly that's why he killed himself. Ranana bishua sacha v'shem elokeinu nid gol yimalei Hashem kol mishalav sacha. Okay, so now comes the, you know, sort of the to the rest of the parak, the thank you part. Shem Elokim Nigdot, Nigol, Niranana, we'll sing Tehillim, we'll sing praises, right? And then, but then still our bakasha, Yimalei Hashem Kol Mishal. This is a great, these four words are great. Yimalei Hashem Kol Mishal Asecha. May God fulfill everything you ask for. Atoyadati kiyoshi Hashem mishicho yaneu mishmei kodesho bigvuros yeshayimino. Now I know. Now, you see, David had visions of grandeur from his early youth. How do I know? And the way he described, you know, when Shaul says, you're just a lad, how are you going to kill him? He's a soldier his whole life. You would never put on armor. Remember how David's brother was so upset? You're a little pipsqueak. What are you doing here? You don't know how to fight. What do you, right? So he is, sorry. He told Shaul, I was born for this. Right? Now also it's important to remember that David had already been crowned king. Right? So yeah, he's looking for ways, you know, ways to get in. He's already getting savvy. I have to have a little Yeah, I have to have chinuch. Yeah, all right. Okay.
And he has to take responsibility.
Yes.
In Israel. So he's like, I got to do it.
Yes. And he's very humble about it. You know, you could say, oh, let me walk a tightrope. I'm going to be king. I could do whatever I want. I'm not going to die. You know, I'll stick in my tongue at Shaul and say, make my day, Shaul. I'm going to be the next king. Shaul will kill him right on the spot. Now it's going to be of God's promise. The prophet has a partnership in making God's promises come true. You don't just sit back and you rely on it. God promised Yirmiyahu, I will be there for you. I will protect you. They will try to kill you. They will not succeed. When Yirmiyahu kept on telling Tzidkiyahu to surrender, one time he went into his room, he was called in by Tzidkiyahu, the king, and he said, please tell me what's going to happen. What's going to happen with the Babylonians? And Yirmiyahu said, you never listen to me anyway. He goes, no, this time I'm going to listen to you. And he tells him, you should surrender. He said, listen, Yirmiyahu, I happen to know this time the people on the other side of this door are going to ask you what you just told me. And if you say that I ask them to surrender, they will not throw you in jail. They will not put you on trial. They will kill you right there on the spot. That's what they just told me. So when he left the room after telling Tzidkiyahu to surrender, they said, what did you just tell the king? Okay, what did he say? What did he say? What do you think? Hashem told me they'll try to kill me, but they won't succeed.
Well, he didn't tell them that. He's directly dismissed.
Yirmiyahu said, I begged him to send me back to jail. He didn't say. Now, is that the low road? No, it's the high road. God told me they're not going to kill me. The king just said, if I say that I ask them to surrender, they're going to kill me right there on the spot. I don't rely on miracles. Let me make sure that, yeah, let's just jump off the cliff. And God said, God didn't say I won't kill myself. David, though, if he's told you're going to be king, let me be a trapeze artist. You know, nothing can happen to me. Right? Okay, so he's saying, so Imalei Hashem Kol Mishal Asecha, and he says, now I know. So maybe it was with Goliath is what really catapulted David into fame. You see the chiddush I'm unraveling here. He said it may just be that this perek was written for Goliath. Then this is a huge chiddush. You know why? It never came up because it couldn't come up. Every major event his life that is say for Shmuel is somewhere in Tehillim. Except chapter 51. Goliath. Name doesn't appear in Tehillim except unless you say that that's what this is. Because look how it continues. They fight with chariots. They fight with horses. And we rely on B'Shem Hashem Elokeinu Nazkir. Right? That's exactly what he was telling Goliath. Right? You fight with chariots. You fight with spears and swords. I fight. And he says, the name of Hashem. Hema karu, karu is to kneel. So now that looks like Yoni Grossman. Remember what happens if he hits him in the knee. Hema karu v'nafalu. Nachnu kamnu v'nisodat. It's funny, right? Okay. If you hit him in the knee, the first thing that's going to happen if you kneecap somebody is he's going to fall on his knees. He's going to fall right on them. It's going to be pretty painful. Right? He's going to buckle. Right? The knee is probably a harder target than the forehead. Right, so, but he hit him with one way or the other. He hit him in a very vulnerable spot, and it caused him to kneel. V'nafalu v'nachnu kamnu v'anisodad. Hashem Hoshia Hamelach Yanei Yom Kareinu. So the famous ending. All right, so it really reads like David's speech to Goliath. Right. And then the chiddush of Yoni Grossman's chiddush that mitzchas says he had mitzchas on his feet, on his knees, which is like they had like the shins, they had special. We call it armor because you covered certain parts of your arm, your neck, your head. Right, so Goliath is well dressed for the game. Right. And David just,
it does parallel Jerusalem too, the statue of the sanctuary when it comes out of Egypt.
Yes. I think that the scholars make quite a bit of hay out of the fact that there's no Goliath in Tehillim. But I think that here is, why doesn't he mention him explicitly? Is perhaps because he felt that what I did with Goliath is reminiscent of many other things that have happened to me in my life. Okay. All right. I'm going to make a segue into the next parak that we're going to be doing, which is going to be 33. Chapter 33. I'll give you a little introduction to it now. We did 30, we did 31, we did 32. Absolutely. Chapter 51, take a look. So this is what we say on Shabbos morning, when Nutzadikim Bashem La Yisharim Navasihila. You're going to say, what's so special about this parak? Well, it's a liturgical parak. Right? And there is one verse that's going to be our segue for now, and we'll do it next week, is verse 17. Chapter 33, verse 17. Or 16. Let's start with 16. 33, Lamed Gimel, 16. Ein HaMelech Noshah Barav Chayil. Ein is not saved with a great army. Yibor Lo Yinotzel Barav Koach. My man saved with his great vast strength. Lo B'Chayil V'Lo B'Koach. Sheker Asus L'Shua. The chariots, the horses, that's Sheker. If that's what you're using to be saved, not going to be saved as a result of his chayil. So we're going to continue with this and it's Hashem next week. Okay, chapter 33, great faithful chapter. Okay, and especially for Shavuos, the week after, we're going to do the one parak in Tehillim that arguably mentions Matan Torah. Chapter 68. We'll be doing that. Okay. So we're going to have our work cut out for us. All right. 33 next week. And then 68. Yeah. So I got.
Does it maybe get dated too?
You know, maybe, let me see what next week is going to be. Yeah, I think maybe we should do 68 is a big chapter. We should do that next week, probably. So, which 33 does mention a lot of elements of salvation. Hashem hefira tzas goyim, right? It's the author of this chapter is worried about fighting against the whole series of nations. Right? You have a Kaddish Baruch Hu on your side. Now, every nation has ever fought for the war in the ancient world felt that they had a God protecting them. Right? And when they won, they were sure that now my God is more powerful and your God should submit to my God and your people should start worshiping God. That's what people did. Right? Yirmiyahu says in Perek Beis, it's after the second of the 3 weeks, Hahimir Goy Elohim. Does a nation change their God? The Himalo Elohim? So Abravanel says, what are you talking about? The Goyim change their gods every Monday and Thursday. Yeah, but the difference is that when they change a God, they do as they feel that my God. No, I'm the only true, and still you leave me. You do two terrible things because you know that I'm the true God. You know your history, and still you turn against me. For what? To pursue that mishigas nonsense? Yeah, because it's more fun. I know I'm boring. I know I'm boring. I'm purposely boring. Right? I don't let you have prostitution in the temples. I don't let you have I don't let you put on a show. I don't let you devolve my temples into what the pagans do in theirs. They knew how to bring the young people out to the temples. And to put on a show for your eyes and your participation. Right? So Hashem says, no, I don't allow that stuff. Okay, a little more on that next week, and I think I maybe will go into 68 straight through the Mount and Torah by next week already. Okay, all right, everybody, have a great week.